are listening to Sheep Might Fly, the podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Hang in there, everyone. This is Kissing Basilisks, Chapter 7, Hebe and the Worst Wake-Up Call Ever. It should be comforting that this time, the fire alarm actually went off because of unexpected fire, and not for reasons involving unexpected possums in the roof, sharply plucked electric guitars, or energetic sex between two consenting, magically dense humans. No, comforting isn't the word that I would use. Our fire alarm is an intense, sweeping magical field, with shrieking sirens, and it makes you feel like your brain has been scoured with someone else's toothbrush. There's a sprinkler system, but mostly what it sprinkles is more magic. Ugh. I need to get my own place. A tiny little bedsit somewhere with no sister, no friends, no drama, no fire alarm. The last part is unrealistic. Because regulations. As for the rest of it, well, that's not realistic either, because I love everyone I live with. Damn them all. I'd barely made it up the stairs before everyone else came rocketing down, and the siren hounded us out further, onto the grass out the back. Viola was shivering. She wore one of Sage's favourite band shirts and tiny boy shorts, but mostly she was cold because it was literally snowing on her head. Snowing out of nowhere. On the 1st of January, right here in the city. Jules stood off to one side, wearing only a towel someone had thrown at him on the way out of the house. Possibly me. He stared at his hands like he'd never seen them before. No one had given either of them coffee yet. Dick had snagged the pot on the way out, but he was holding onto it grimly, no cups in sight. Cursed, said Juniper. They've swapped powers. My sisters used to threaten to do this to me all the time. Nope, I'm out, said Kenneth, Holly's latest bloke, fully dressed and already tapping his phone. Later, babe. Never mind about Kenneth. We don't care about him. Well, Holly might. No one invited you to stick around, Holly flung at him, turning her back. Okay, Holly didn't care about Kenneth either. I don't believe this, said Viola, holding up her hand. An icicle formed on her palm, spiky and perfect. I'm an ice troll. I keep setting fire to things, Jules growled. Why would anyone ever want to set fire to things? What's it good for? I find candles very calming, Juniper blurted out, and then stared at the grass. Sorry. Her cello, Irene, rested against her hip. She darted back to our flat to get it as the siren went off, and hadn't made it out quite fast enough, so her braids were damp from the sprinklers. I passed her an extra towel, which my magic conjured for me. The second it passed into her hands, another appeared over my shoulder. Juniper immediately started using the towel on her cello instead of herself. That's musicians for you. Holly circled both Jules and Viola, fascinated. She'd taken a keen interest in magical theory recently, ever since she decided it was a lot like songwriting and coincidentally, not coincidentally, as soon as she no longer had to attend lectures on the topic. Your magic has swapped, right? That's really rare. It's horrendous, snapped Viola. Of course it's rare. There have been like 12 cases per year in Australia. Most of them due to curses or massive feats of magic going wrong. Literal body swapping is more common. She gave Jules a suspicious look. What did you do, Nightshade? Don't look at me, darling, he yelped. School is out. I've barely used my magic for more than hair straightening charms in a fortnight, and I haven't had time to offend anyone so drastically they might curse me in at least a month. Maybe that's it, said May, who was sitting cross-legged on the grass with her laptop open and a mirror glowing in front of her, searching for active cases. I mean, sure, someone might have cursed you. I want to curse both of you most of the time. But is it possible that Jules not using his magic led to build up of... Swapping magic is a precise art, Viola said sharply. Hardly anyone's ever pulled it off as a deliberate magical feat. Most of the recorded cases in the last 2 centuries have been accidental. Side effects from other curses or great charms of power, bonding spells mostly. Holly leaned in and yelped with delight as the end of her hair, still fire engine red from the solstice celebrations, crackled with frost. Are you two on together? What? Jules and Viola said in unison, horrified. He's the gayest of the gay, said Viola, as if this should be obvious. I approve this message, Jules snapped back. His eyes narrowed as he looked at her. Wait, could a kiss do it? Shut up, Viola said in a low, fierce growl. This was interesting. Have you two been kissing? I asked, getting in only a beat ahead of my twin, who looked like she'd won some kind of gossip prize. We have not, said Viola, obviously trying to tell Jules to shut up with her eyes. That's not a thing we do. Jules ignored whatever message she was sending. Didn't Prof. Thaddeon present a whole thing on failed bonding spells and their side effects for that curse-breaking seminar series last winter, Vale? You didn't turn up to any of those seminars, she said hotly. I went to, like, half of that one. And then I went and listened to his TED Talk afterwards because it gave me an idea for one of my final essays. Prof. Thaddeon's the hot one with the goatee, right? She sighed. No wonder you remember him. And the paper was about accidental bonding spells, not failed bonding spells. Jules continued. Yeah, yeah. Usually sparked by some kind of unexpected intimacy between high-powered warlocks. So you have been kissing, said Holly. Not each other, said Dick, in a low voice. He hadn't spoken since we all came outside. Everyone looked at him. I'd been worried about Dick recently. When I had time to think about anyone other than myself, he hadn't been acting like his usual breezy Deckness. I'd spent most of the last week and a half staying with my mums after the summer solstice disaster, and he barely even replied to my texts, even the ones about the live-action remake of The Zombie Files, which I knew he had to have a lot of opinions about. I will break your paintbrushes, Deck, Viola said in a chilly voice, turning on him. I will burn your dice one by one. I will... It started snowing in a circle around her again, wide enough for a hula hoop. Fuck, Jules, how do I turn that off? I don't know. I haven't made it snow since I was 14 and perfecting the art of jacking off, he said, helpfully. I will break everyone's paintbrushes, Viola screamed at the sky. Would they even notice if I gave up and went back inside? I was tired and grumpy, and actually the fire alarm might be less stressful than this. If kissing caused you two to accidentally bond and swap your magic, I want to know who you've been kissing, pestered Holly. Kissing doesn't swap magic, Viola snapped back. And I haven't kissed Jules other than ironically on the forehead for years. They both kissed Ferd, said Deck, still very calm and quiet, at the party, last night, if anyone's interested. And suddenly this whole magic swap thing wasn't a vaguely interesting curiosity anymore. It definitely wasn't funny, if it had ever been. Wait, I said before I could stop myself. What kind of kissing are we talking about? The kind he should probably have told his girlfriend about, said Deck. Calmest of us all, even under these circumstances. I wanted to throw something at him. Viola, I said quietly. Is he right? It wasn't any of my business. Nothing to get upset about. I'd been at that entire party, and if I didn't want Ferd to go around kissing people, maybe I shouldn't have been avoiding him all night. Also, a tiny voice inside reminded me, there were a whole lot of reasons why I should be more upset about the kissing Jules thing than the kissing Viola thing. But I'd never really considered Jules to be my friend. Viola Vale, on the other hand... Viola stared at me with an expression I'd never seen on her face before. It looked a lot like guilt, which I guess was better than if she didn't feel bad about it. Another towel appeared in my arms, then another and another. They kept stacking up one by one, alternating in colours, perfectly folded. My magic, of course, sensed the stress in the air and wanted to make extra sure that I was looking after everyone. Sometimes I want to kick my magic in the shins. "Hey," said Jules Nightshade, sounding somewhat panicked. "My hand is on fire. Anyone? Anyone?" Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRRRR. I almost got through the whole thing. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRRBooks. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.